Mr. Sadasti, Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode with real content. This episode features the Atari Word Processor by Atari. You've undoubtedly noticed changes to the intro, and there are others throughout. The intro is an excerpt of a chiptune song called 8-Bit Raceway by WizWars. It's used under Creative Commons License, Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 US. And with that, let's get started. As you know, I'm doing seasons, with the first being word processors. For the programs in each season, they will be covered in chronological order by release date. Now, on to the Atari Word Processor. The Atari Word Processor was the first word processor for the Atari 8-bit computer. All the research that I've done indicates that's accurate, but someone can correct me if I'm wrong. The Atari Word Processor was also the precursor to Atari Writer. It ran on Atari 800s with 48K and OSB only. And that's the reason why Atari Writer was born, so they would have a word processor on the new platforms.
Technical data.
The Atari Word Processor was released on January 8, 1981 at the Consumer Electronics Show. It was published by Atari, and I could not find the developer, so I'm assuming it was developed in-house. I also could not find a programmer for it. It was released on two diskettes and one cassette tape. The cassette tape had training materials on it, and one of the diskettes was a training diskette. The part number was CX404. It was a commercial license, and it used the keyboard controller. It was only compatible with Atari 800s and OSB operating system. It required 48K of memory. The original price was $149.95, and in today's dollars, that's $405. That's a lot of money. Atari Mania lists it as a rarity of 7. I have a special note on that later, so listen up. And now for the long list of features. The discs were copy protected, and it is menu driven. You cannot customize the colors at all, so you get blue background and a white foreground. It does not do automatic backup of your documents. It does have cut and paste, or block copy and move as they refer to it. It also has undo. There's also a type over feature, so you don't have to backspace over text that you want to erase. It does not support macros. It does not support mail merge. It does not have any math functions, and there is no spell checker. It does have a print preview. It does have search abilities, it has replace abilities, and it does not have true descenders. It does support two-column printing and proportional spacing. It does not have an 80-column screen. It does support horizontal scrolling, though, so it makes it a little easier. It does have a header, but no footer, and it does have page numbering. The maximum document size is about 10,000 bytes, and it will not use expansion memory of any kind. That's about all the technical details I want to get into. I will say that it also supports proportional space printing as well as condensed printing, elongated printing, and different things like that. The standard fare for dot matrix printers back then.
Usage notes.
Before I get into usage, I want to talk about documentation. Atari provided two manuals, both of which have very detailed instructions, diagrams, and screenshots. They were very well written and easy to read, though they weren't quite as easy to follow. The technical reference manual is one, and the training manual is another. Okay, so the technical reference manual is like a command reference and a how-to combined into one. It's in alphabetical order, so initialize disk is between indent and insert, but it's not logically arranged as one might expect. You'll have to use the index quite a bit if you want to find anything. It's 103 pages long as well. The training manual is more of a workbook with training followed by exercises. It's supposed to be used after you complete the cassette-based training. It includes one page, which is a quick reference to most common functions. This manual is 130 pages long. Okay, onward to the display. The screen is divided up into three sections, a status line, a menu section, and a document editor. The status line is composed of several parts. On the far left, you have the drive number of the document you're working with, the file name, no extension. There's an LK, which indicates what mode the keyboard is in, lowercase, uppercase, control. There's a page number, a line number, and a column number section. There's a small white bar about a half a character in width between the menu section and the document editor. It represents the amount of available memory. It moves from left to right, with left being closer to 0 bytes free. The documentation states that between 150 and 200 lines can be edited, with about 10,000 characters total. I was able to fit a 270-line document that made up 10,400 bytes into memory. But at that size, the document could not be repaginated or formatted successfully. It would report a fatal out-of-memory error and the program would crash. This resulted in corrupting the original file on disk. Also, when a document is this size, it will not print. Atari recommends that you start saving the file and creating new pages when the bar reaches about 50% across the screen. The documentation states that you should get two warnings about low memory. The first, which should occur about 1,000 bytes before you run out, the second with about 256 bytes free. However, I found that it alerted at 100 lines of usage, with far more than 1,000 bytes free. Because the Atari has only 40-column display, and the window for editing the documents is rather small, we have to talk about scrolling. Control-A and Control-E move the cursor between the beginning and end of line quickly. When you're typing, as you approach character 20, the text will begin to scroll left until it reaches a wrapping point, and then it will return to column 0. As you get close to the end of the line, you can only see the last roughly 24 columns. You have the following keys to help you move around the display quickly. Control-Tab moves the display left 20 characters. Shift-Tab moves the display right 20 characters. Control-Q scrolls the screen down 10 lines. Control-V scrolls the screen up 10 lines. You can also scroll the view window around your document using the following keys. Control-R moves right one character. Control-L moves left one character. Control-D moves down one line. Control-U moves up one line. These are basically equivalent to using the cursor keys to move around. Okay, next up is cut and paste, or block copy and move. The block feature works fairly well, although it is a little cumbersome, but you get used to it fairly quickly. All right, locate the text you want to work with, then you press Control-N to start the mark. You go to the end of the text you want to work with, and press Control-M to end it. This puts parentheses before and after the text. So when you're ready, you press Control-S to make a copy of it. Then you can use Control-Delete to delete the text, or Control-Insert to paste the text in its new location. The marks are left on the screen when you're done, so you'll have to delete them using Control-X when you're ready. One nice thing that Atari did provide was the ability to copy text from one page, recall another page from disk, and then paste that text into the newly recalled or newly created page. While this isn't part of cut and paste, I'll mention it anyway because it's a nice touch. If you accidentally delete part of a line, or you decide that you don't like changes you made on a line, you can press Control-Z to undo the changes to that line right then. Sort of VI-ish, if you will. Atari also gave you ample means of deleting non-blocked text. There are 5 ways to do so, and a lot of them are very VI-ish as well. Control-P deletes the prior word. Control-W deletes the next word. Control-F deletes from the cursor to the end of the line. And Control-Delete deletes from the cursor to the left margin. And as already mentioned, Control-X deletes the entire line. Okay, and now a word about centering, which is everybody's favorite, right? After all, who doesn't love a centered line? To center a line, you first have to type it. Duh! Then you move to the beginning of that line and you press Control-Y. The program figures out how many spaces are needed to center it and inserts those before your text. It leaves a special mark at the beginning and the end of the line, and I guess that's for the formatter's use later on. Next up is search and destroy, replace. With today's powerful word processors, we take search and replace for granted. But in 1981, this was powerful stuff. Atari did a good job with the implementation. It worked very well, and it was very quick. The only complaint I have with it is that it doesn't wrap. So if you're in the middle of the document, it'll search to the bottom, but it won't wrap around to the top. So when you want to do a search, you need to start at the top. Atari did give you the option of replacing text as well. If you're just searching for text, and there are multiple matches, it'll ask if you want to stop or continue at each one. And if you're doing a search and replace, it'll ask you if you want to change it, skip it, or stop. There are enough formatting options to suit most document needs. I've talked about the major features and how they're used. Now I'll just reference a few more key ones that are worth mentioning. You have block indent, paragraph level formatting, line justification, and you have bold and underline, which are supported. But there are no fancy fonts and sizes like we have in today's word processors, only with the Atari 825 dot matrix printer supported at the time, like elongated print, condensed print, super and subscripts, etc. Okay, print preview. Today we have WYSIWYG displays, or what you see is what you get, and in 1981 there was no way that was possible. So the next best thing? Print preview. So rather than try and scale the text down and render it in a high-res graphic 8 screen, Atari chose a lower resolution graphic screen with color. And they replaced the text with pixels, and it worked surprisingly well, and it was quick, which was a nice surprise. It also shows on the page a rendering of where the current display window is in relation to the document. To get to it, you press Select, which starts the print preview, and you press Start to exit it. The preview mode is also where you get to the controls for page layout, like your margins, your tab stops, line spacing, etc. Onward to printing, a de facto requirement for word processors, although today that's changing. Before printing, Atari recommends using the format function on the document. This repaginates it, cleans up lists, cleans up your paragraphs, adds generally white space all over the place. If you like how you formatted the document, don't do it. The format function is accessed by going to the menu, selecting E for the extended functions, and then selecting F for format, then 7 for format document. Once you've selected it, it'll ask if you're sure, and once it has your OK, it will load each page of the document and work its magic. This process can take quite a while, but just a few minutes for a 3 or 4 page document. You can watch it work as it painstakingly cuts and pastes, and in some cases appears to even retype sections of your work one page at a time. It will replace the versions on disk, so if you're just curious about what it does, work with a copy of the document, not the actual document. One nice thing about the formatter is that it recognizes lines starting with a dash and correctly formats them into a bulleted list. Once formatted, or not, you should repaginate it so that the page breaks fall correctly. This is also a several-minute ordeal, and the program cuts and pastes your text as needed. This is also where you have the option of adding a single line header, which does offer page numbering at least, but it's only 30 characters long. There is no footer either. If it adds any pages as part of the process, they will be saved automatically. After repagination, you can print by going to the menu and pressing Escape until you get to the Print Edit menu and then choosing Print. You do have the option to print single pages, or you can print the entire document. A word about disks and files. Atari Word Processor uses Atari DOS 2.0S on the back side and comes with CX8104 810 Master Diskette 2. Immediately on startup, you should use the Utility menu to change the working drive to a drive with a data diskette in it. If you do a directory of the program diskette, it has a special structure and a reads w.p. program diskette do not use for data. When you create a new document, it stores the document in two files. There's a .doc file and a .001 file. Additional pages will have a .00n extension representing their page number. An additional file is created when you use copy and paste, which has a .200 extension. The .200 file, when viewed, appears to be a copy of the most recent page. Now, I couldn't discern the purpose of the .doc file, as all of them that I dumped looked exactly the same. An empty formatted 92K diskette will hold roughly 70 pages, per Atari's estimate.
Fun facts.
Okay, here are a few interesting facts. The technical manual has a warning on page 1 about leaving the display unchanged for 8 hours, so the display won't get etched into the display screen, something we don't have to worry about in today's age of screensavers and different technologies like LCD displays. Second, the technical manual includes 16 whole pages on hooking up the entire system, configuring the disk drives, inserting required memory modules, attaching the 850 interface, connecting the printer and the display. Very odd for a program manual. Third, the technical manual states the disk drive should be no closer than 12 inches to any display. Now, I recall setting my disk drive right next to the monitor, underneath it, and on top. Fourth, the training manual states the menu is similar to one that you would order off of at a restaurant. Well, not so much. And my personal favorite, in Volume 1, Number 3, September of 81, Of the Atari Connection, there was a promotion from Atari that ran from 9181 to 103181. Now, if you bought an Atari 800, which was 16K at the time, and an 810 disk drive, two Atari 16K RAM expansions, you also filled out the warranty card for the 800 and the 810 on the spot and turned it into the dealer at the time of purchase, you could receive a free copy of Atari Word Processor. So if they're giving it away for free, it makes me wonder why this particular program is so rare. I guess not many people were dumping $2,000 or $5,400 in today's money into home computers back then.
Summary.
Here's my take on it. I used the Atari Word Processor to take all my notes. I thought this would be a good way to really get a feel for how well it works, as opposed to working with some predefined blocks of sample text. First off, I noticed the Atari Word Processor is responsive and it works really quickly. It was able to keep up with my typing without any issues, and scrolling was just as expected, typical Atari speed. It is menu-driven to make it user-friendly, but it is so stringent that it's almost user-hostile. I found frustration in the number of keystrokes required to perform simple functions like switching between pages or saving a page, which is 7 steps. Press Escape, press S, press Return, press the number of the page, press Return, press Y, press Return again. All right, here's a good example. To start a document, you first have to create it. You have to name it. You can't use an extension. You have to edit the page. Then you have to select a new page. Then you have to enter the page number. Now you're ready to actually type. You can only edit one page at a time, and moving between pages is menu-driven, as I've stated, as is everything, and it's easy to lose text. When you've completed a page, you need to save it. If you don't, you can say goodbye. You save one page of the document at a time. Then you can create new pages and edit them. If you recall the previous page without saving your new page, then your new page is toast. As you move between pages, you must continually tell it what you want to do, such as recall page, enter the page number, select modify page. It's easy to forget the modify, which results in you typing into the menu input area, doing nothing. Luckily, the menu makes you press return at the end of each selection, otherwise you could really make a mess out of your document. Working with pages is similar to using a typewriter, but with the ability to move around the printed sheet. The problem with this is that it makes it exactly like working on a typewriter, albeit with easier editing. On the plus side, it does allow you to work with much larger documents than will fit in memory at one time. I also found myself constantly checking what page number I was on before saving and recalling pages. Yes, it's on the screen, but it seems like a function the program should be able to keep track of for me. And the cassette tutorials were interesting, but they may have been a bit hard to follow with all the stopping and starting while you perform an instructed task. There's a teaser at the end of this episode. And now for some whining. Here are my complaints. The disk menu is limited and only has format and rename options available. There should at least be an option to see a directory of files without having to try and load one first. You can also only work with a single page of a document at a time. The nice thing about this is that you can totally screw up a page and then restore it with the restore page, basically pulling it back off of disk if you need to. The bad part about it is that you can't see all of your document at once, which really comes in handy if you move things around a lot. And last, the formatter. I have no love for thee. The formatter does not format like I would expect it to. It really makes some drastic changes in the layout of the document, mainly just adding white space everywhere, and I mean everywhere. And with only about 66 lines per page available, it can really stretch your document out. So with all that said, would I use Atari Word Processor? Well, today we've been spoiled with super advanced word processors like Microsoft Word and Apple Pages, to name just a couple. If I put myself in 1981 shoes and I look at the market, there were no other professional-grade word processors available for the Atari 8-bit. Atari Word Processor would likely save you a lot of typing, but it might not save you a considerable amount of time due to the formatting and pagination times on big documents. If it was 1981 and I had to choose between Atari Word Processor and a typewriter, I would reach for Atari Word Processor disk every single time. Okay, fast forward to today. If I'm interested in vintage computing and I'm looking for a word processor, I would have to consider all the word processors produced for the Atari 8-bit. This is the first episode, and review, so as a listener, you may not have anything to reference. But from a reviewer standpoint, I would have to rank Atari Word Processor close to the bottom of my list. I'm going to rank everything with a bit score in this podcast, and it will be from 1 to 8, of course, with a full 8 being excellent and 1 being not worth looking at. So overall, I give Atari Word Processor 3 bits.
Special thanks.
First, I'd like to thank everybody for listening and bearing with me as I get acclimated to doing this. And second, I want to give a special thanks to Rob at Player Missile Podcast. He gave me some pre-screening before the pilot was ever released and some important feedback. You can find his podcast at playermissile.com, and you should check it out if you have not already.
Contact information.
The show notes can be found on inverseataski.info. It can be found on iTunes using the search term Ataski or Atari. It can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/inverseataski. And you can also follow on Twitter with @inverseataski. To leave comments or suggestions, you can email wade@inverseataski.info or inverseataski@icloud.com. As always, thanks for listening and stay tuned for the next episode.
One more thing. Be sure the printer is set to online. If it is set on local, it will not print.
So, would I use Atari Writer? I keep saying that.
Goodbye.